John 14 and verse 15 is before us this morning. Please give your attention to the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. We cling to the promise in Isaiah chapter 55 in regard to God's word. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Our prayer this morning is that God would bless the reading and the hearing and the application of his perfect and holy word. Amen. Well, we come this morning to a very powerful verse in our journey through the gospel according to John. Seven very clear words that seem to sum up much of the Christian life. Seven words that speak a precious truth. Seven words that show the loveliness of the commandments of Jesus Christ. Seven words that prove that the law is to be treasured. And yet, strangely enough, seven words that many Christians don't want to hear. Might we even say seven words that Christians ignore? Seven words, perhaps, that Christians despise. We believe today that these seven words are words we desperately need to hear. In our passage this morning, let's take the opportunity to reflect on a couple of the items in our outline there. You can see we want to focus on the fact that Christ's commands are perfect, Christ's commands are precious, Christ's commands are for our good, Christ's commands are evidence of our union with Christ, how we view those commands. Christ's commands help us to see our love for Christ. Many connections that are largely lost in the modern Christian church. That's not a surprising thing, but it might be surprising to you that these connections are lost in Reformed churches. Often the greatest assault against the commandments of Christ, the law of God, come from those who are Reformed. We have an interesting context of chapter 14. We've spent a few weeks here now to come up to verse 15. And we have noticed that amongst the disciples, there's a lot of angst in this chapter. They're stressed about what Jesus says about going away, and they ask how and why. They're stressed about the details. And what does Jesus say to do here? Notice where this verse falls. Basically saying, if you're so worried about some of these things that you don't understand, why don't you turn your attention to keeping my commandments? That will show that you love me. Love for me is not shown in stressing about what I've foretold. Show me your love in doing what I say. John Brown gives some background here. He gives a good summary. He says that the Lord is saying, if you love me, manifest your love, not by inconsolable regrets for my necessary departure, but my compliance with the injunctions that I have laid upon you. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe in me. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Take heed that ye be not offended in me this night. that were a proof of your affection to me, which would give me far more satisfaction and bring you far more relief, and in yielding, which ye would give your vent to your affectionate feelings and thus find consolation and peace. Brown says, this seems the direct reference of our Lord's words, which, however, express the general truths that obedience to him is the best proof of love, and that this manifestation of love is one of the best ways of obtaining an alleviation of the sorrow produced by his departure. That's a good connection to make in the context. The sorrow of the disciples. Christ turns their attention to verse 15. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Matthew Poole says, drawing this out more as well, he says, do not show your love to me in mourning and being troubled for my going from you, but show it by your obedience to what I've commanded you. True love must not evaporate in compliment, but discover itself in a strict observance of the commandments of God. Now, amazingly, such an application of our passage before us is an application that is not often made in the church today, because most Christians are actually trying to find ways to forget the law or to explain away the law rather than trying to find more ways to remember and appreciate and to treasure the law. Remember last week, our application of chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, we said Jesus is speaking to his inner circle of disciples when he says, whatever you ask in my name, I will do. So to the apostles, that might have included, we talked about knowing our place and our time, that might have included to them the raising up of the dead or the healing of the sick. But that application does not die there with the apostles. The passage is also applicable to us, whatever we pray in Christ's name. But we're supposed to pray appropriate things, those things that he's told us to pray, those things that we're supposed to want. Those are the things that we pray. Well, what about our verse here today, verse 15? We find the same truth is here. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, his inner circle. He's saying, if you love me, keep my commandments. Is this applicable to us? Is this a truth that applies to us, not just to that inner circle? Of course, this is something we apply to us. In our confession, our catechisms, we take the passage in verses 13 and 14 is applied to us on multiple occasions, how we pray. We pray in Christ's name. Well, the same is true of our passage today. If you love me, keep my commandments is a truth for all Christians. Matthew Henry says, keeping the commandments of Christ is here put for the practice of godliness in general and for the faithful and diligent discharge of their office as apostles in particular. So in general, this passage then is not something we can explain away. It applies to us. It applies to me. It applies to you. It applies to the church. Now, providentially, we've been considering in our afternoon series one of God's laws, one of Christ's commandments. We've been looking at the fifth commandment. We've been following along and expounding on the meaning of the fifth commandment. We've been following the larger catechism, question 95, as a guide as how we understand the law. So what I wanted to do this morning is to draw out a few more of these catechism questions and talk about what is the difference for using God's law among the regenerate and among the unregenerate? Because we all view the law differently, don't we? And it's interesting how the larger catechism brings that out. The sad thing is that oftentimes we find, we would expect the unregenerate to dislike God's law. Strangely enough, we find the same thing happening in the church. The regenerate are disliking God's law. Very strange. I hope that we can see that connection today and be warned of that. Question 91 is printed for you No, it isn't. 91. Now, I have 93, 95, 96, and 97. Listen to question 91. What is the duty which God requireth of man? The duty which God requireth of man is obedience to his revealed will. Very short, very to the point. Can't miss it. The revealed will of God, that is the commandment of Christ. That is what Christ has commanded. And that's what we're talking about in John 14, 15. So let's consider some of these principles that we need to have before us is to fully appreciate John 14, 15. First of all, let's look to see that Christ's commands are perfect. Christ's commands are perfect. This is just simply something that's not talked about much in the modern church, especially among dispensationalism. We don't find a general understanding of perfection with God's law. What God's law, how it falls short and how it's unworthy and how we no longer keep it. That's the emphasis. Christ says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And this assumes the fitness of his commandments to show our love to Christ. If keeping the commandments did not show our love for Christ, then they would fall short. There would be some problem with them. There would be some way that they were not perfect. Christ's commandments are perfectly fit to allow us to show our love to Christ. Do you want to show Christ you love him? Christ says, keep my commandments. Now, despite the terrible way that we see the law being treated in the church, the law is exactly what we need. The law of God is not confusing. It is not ambiguous or burdensome or cruel, which is how it's often portrayed. The law of God is God's revelation to man of his will for us. Especially in the light of the gospel, the law is even more beautiful as we see it in our time. It's always been beautiful. The law is perfect in what it reveals. The law does not reveal too much. The law does not reveal too little. Christ's commandments reveal exactly what they intend to reveal. Everything we need to exercise our love to Christ is found in the keeping of the commandments. Look at the Larger Catechism 93. I do have that one printed for you there. What is the moral law? The moral law is the declaration of the will of God to mankind, directing and bonding everyone to personal, perfect, and perpetual conformity and obedience thereunto in the frame and disposition of the whole man, soul, and body, and in performance of all of those duties of holiness and righteousness which he oweth to God and man, promising life upon the fulfilling and threatening death upon the breach of it. There's a lot happening in that answer there. A few things have happened since God begins to reveal himself to man. We find the man falls, the fall of man into sin. We're no longer able then, even when the law is given more clearly, as we find through Moses, we're not able to give personal, perfect, and perpetual obedience to those laws. We know that. That's one of the things we emphasize in teaching about the law, is our inability to keep it. Well, herein enters then the covenant of grace, in which Christ himself keeps the law of God for his people. Christ keeps the law of God. So then studying and learning about the law, it is not an activity of despair, because we know that Christ has kept it for us. Question 95 has been a guide to us in the afternoon, so look over on the opposite side of the page there for question 95. Of what use is the moral law to all men? The moral law is of use to all men to inform them of the holy nature and will of God, of their duty, binding them to walk accordingly. Notice that's for everyone. To convince them of their disability to keep it, and of the sinful pollution of their nature, hearts, and lives, to humble them in the sense of their sin and misery, and thereby help them to a clearer sight of the need they have of Christ, and of the perfection of His obedience. My friends, in all of these things the law is doing, which you can see the catechism is expounding on that, and all of these works and intentions and efforts of the law, it's always perfect. The law does exactly what it intends to do. It never falls short. It never fails to apply to us in our lives. The law is never irrelevant. The law is never outdated. It never misses anything. If you'll notice, in the revealing of sin, the law perfectly shows us our sin. It perfectly informs us of all of God's holy nature and the will of God, as we see there in that catechism answer. The law always tells us our whole duty. It always binds us to walk accordingly. It always proclaims our disability to keep it. There's never a part of the law that overstates our ability or brags about our ability to do or keep it. In its perfection, the law never stops proclaiming the sinful pollution of our nature, our hearts, and our lives. The law perfectly humbles us. It never ceases to reveal the sense of our sin and misery. Now, I'm aware when I say that, that that's precisely the point where someone would come in and they would say, "But Pastor, how can you say the law is so perfect and what a blessing it is? How can you say that when you just said that it shows us our misery? How do we balance that? How do we say the law is perfect when it shows us our misery?" Because, my friends, today, this is very important. A very key point of the law of God, showing us our misery is good because we are shown the one who brings us out of that misery. And without the law of God, fallen man often has no idea of his misery. Without the perfection of the law to reveal sin, we would never see our need of Christ to solve the problem of sin. And failing to see Christ, then, for those who dislike the law, the problem is not with the law. The law is always driving us to Christ. The problem is with the sinful heart of man. If I fail to see Christ in the law, the problem is with me. If you fail to see Christ in the law, the problem is with you. John 14:15 shows us how perfect the law truly is, connecting us with Christ. It's so valuable then that if you want to be relieved of these stresses we're talking about in John 14, if you want to show your love for Christ, Jesus sends you to the law. He sends you to His commandments. Far from sending you away from them, as often the testimony of the modern church, that the law is of no benefit, or we don't have to keep that, or we only have 9 commandments instead of 10, or 7, or 5 instead of 10. The nonsense in the modern church is totally opposite of what Jesus teaches in John 14 and verse 15. I hope today, Christian, that you see the perfection of Christ's commandments. Do you have a problem with Christ's commandments today? Do you find that there's some flaw there? Do you see some problem? If you don't see that perfection of Christ's commandments, there's a problem to deal with. I pray that you would see the perfection of Christ's law. Next in our outline, let's consider that Christ's commandments are precious. They're precious. "If you love me, keep my commandments," reveals the precious nature of the law. We should long to hear these words. What a wonderful testimony this is today. I want to know how to show my love for Christ. Matthew Henry says, "Now observe when Christ is comforting them," which is what's happening in John 14. When Christ is comforting them, he bids them to keep his commandments. For we must not expect comfort, but in the way of duty. Why would we expect comfort being in the way of disobedience? Matthew Henry says, if we're outside of our responsibilities, if we're outside of obedience, why would we expect comfort there? I think the larger catechism giving us this comparison between the regenerate and the unregenerate man shows us that another important and helpful aspect of the law, the pattern of the catechism is important here. Unregenerate men will not treasure the law like a Christian treasures the law. We're saying the law is precious today. Most of the church doesn't see that. Is the law precious to you? How is the law precious to you? What is precious about the law to you? Think about that. Good things to meditate upon today. Look at question 96 there in your handout. What particular use is there of the moral law to the unregenerate men? The moral law is of use to unregenerate men to awaken their consciences, to flee from wrath to come, to drive them to Christ. Notice, or upon their continuance in the estate and way of sin, to leave them inexcusable and under the curse thereof. Ever think about how the lost person views the law? How does a lost person view Christ's commandments? They stop their ears. They run from it. They don't want to hear that. To the unregenerate man, the law is blinding. It is bright. It is violent. It is opposed to my life if I am unregenerate. To the unregenerate man, the commandments of Christ are a storm of terrible proportions, a storm that is always beating against the soul, being the primary tool that God uses to awaken the soul. The law is always beating against us. What kinds of things wake us up when we are asleep? Think about that. The things that awaken us are not darkness and soft pillows and warm blankets. Right? Those are the things you cozy up with that put you to sleep. The things that awaken us are those things that are harsh to our senses. The things that awaken us are sudden jolts of violence, bright beams of light that stab into the darkness of night. That wakes us up. Crashes of thunder and lightning in the silence of sleep. Unpleasant, uncomfortable, unlikable things that seek to throw us out of the bed, to awaken us. We don't like those things. If you'll think about it, that's largely what the law is doing to the unregenerate. It is always making an unpleasant sound to awaken from sin. That's the law to the unregenerate man. It's always unwelcome. It's always inconvenient. It never wants to be heard. It's always hurtful. And it's no wonder that unregenerate men don't love the law. It's just simply something they don't want to hear. But what is surprising is really then, as we've mentioned, that so many Christians don't love the law of God. If we keep with our analogy of sleep being like sin, in that slumber, keep with that analogy, the unregenerate man wants nothing more than to continue on in sleep. So they don't want that noise or light that will awaken them. But what about the regenerate man? The regenerate man, though he may fall asleep at times, recognizes the danger of sleep in this analogy. The danger of falling into sin. He knows that to be awakened from sin is a good thing. To be made aware of sin is a good thing. So the regenerate man is always expecting the law to sound. He's always expecting the law to send light. He's always expecting that because he wants that. He's always longing for that precious sound of life to call him back to his rightful place. We love that sound of the alarm clock there in our analogy. Because we want to be awakened. The Christian wants to avoid sin. So to the Christian, these alarms are not shrill or violent. They are not unwelcome. They are not to be avoided. The Christian wants to be made aware of sin. Now, the reminders of the law might be painful to us. They're often shameful to us. We're reminded of something that we don't want to be reminded of, but in the greater scheme, we do want to know our sin. Reminders of our sin are also reminders of how we've neglected the suffering of Christ and the example of Christ. So there's some pain associated with that light, with that sound, with that work of the law in awakening us to sin. But the Christian treasures and loves the law. That's the difference between the unregenerate man and the regenerate man. Look at question 97 there on your handout. Notice the difference in what we've read. Again, this is a good thing to meditate on in your time throughout the day or throughout this week. Notice the differences. What special use is there of the moral law to the regenerate? Although they that are regenerate and believe in Christ be delivered from the moral law as a covenant of works, so as thereby they are neither justified nor condemned, yet beside the general use thereof, common to them with all men, we've looked at some of those, it is of special use to show them how much they are bound to Christ for his fulfilling it. That's what so many Christians miss. And enduring the curse thereof in their stead and for their good. Christians who neglect the law neglect the work of Christ. They neglect something that binds them to Christ. What does Jesus say? If you love me, keep my commandments. The rest of the answer to question 97. And thereby to provoke them to more thankfulness. And to express the same in their greater care to conform themselves thereunto as the rule of their obedience. That's what the law is to us. This is the precious nature of Christ's commandments to us, the precious nature of the moral law. We're delivered from the power of the law to condemn us if we are in Christ. In Christ, then, every reminder of the law, every time we read the law, every time the law shines its light or makes its sound or noise to awaken us, that is a reminder of what Christ did. Christ fulfilled the law. Christ completed what the law requires, enduring its full power for our good. That's a wonderful thing to be reminded of. Because that's how we're saved. In Christ, we're driven to thankfulness for the law. How could we ever come to despise the law when the law is driving us to be thankful constantly? It's interesting, isn't it? For Christians who neglect the law, do you think maybe there's a lack of thankfulness there? How can you be driven to thankfulness if you are neglecting the law? In Christ, we show greater care than to conform ourselves to the law. Christians who neglect the law are not showing great care to conform themselves to the law. They're not thinking the law is even important or applicable to them. We believe that the law of God is important, and we want to conform ourselves to it because of its inseparable connection to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is what He has commanded. It is what He has commanded. We know that He has given us the law. He has given it as a rule of our obedience. Again, it's never irrelevant. It's never not able to be applied. It is always there for us. That's how we read John 14 and verse 15. Because of and through our love to the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to keep the commandments. We make an effort to keep the commandments. We make an effort to remember the commandments and to speak of their importance, their precious nature, and their use in the life of the Christian. John 14 and verse 15 shows us how precious the law truly is. Christian, today, is the law precious to you? What are some ways in your life that you show the law is precious to you? You meditate upon the law? You consider the law? Do you teach the law to others? How do you show the law is precious to you? Now, one of the things we note in the speaking about John 14, 15, and the precious nature of the law, we've said this in the larger catechism, just want to make an emphasis on it. The precious nature of the law is not in our perfectly keeping it. All right, I think we've made that point very clear, but it needs to be given further emphasis. It's not in our perfection of keeping it that makes the law precious or valuable. In fact, we know that we will fall short in the keeping of it. John Brown, talking about this passage, also gives a little bit of clarity here. He says, "It is plain then that the perfect keeping of the commandments of Christ is not the test of love." You can see how we could fall away on either side kind of easily here. It's not the perfect keeping of the law. It is keeping the law. It is a desire to keep the law, the treasure of the law, not the perfect keeping of it. He says, I think it's good to hear this counsel. He says, apply that test, and the result is that there's no such thing as a lover of Christ on the earth. If it were the perfect keeping of the law, then nobody loves Jesus. You see that? For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Still, obedience to the commandments of Christ is the test of love to Him. And there will be no difficulty in applying the test, if there be only an honest desire to have the question fairly settled. For there are certain qualities of obedience which are to be found in every lover of Christ, and which are never found in anyone else. And it is to these that we must attend if we wish to know what is our character. Every lover of Christ keeps Christ's commandments implicitly, impartially, cheerfully, and perseveringly, and no man who is not a lover of Christ keeps His commandments. In any far less in all of these ways. You see the difference there between the regenerate and the unregenerate? The unregenerate man has no desire to keep the commandments, but the regenerate man does. Let's look at our third point. Christ's commandments are for our good. Now, last week we saw that what we pray for, we talked about this last week, what we pray for is really a good measure of our spiritual life, is it not? If we're always praying for petty things, empty things, things of vanity, that probably shows that there's not a lot of depth in our spiritual life. But we should be praying for those right and good things that Christ has given us instruction in the Lord's Prayer. Well, in a similar way, I would make this application that our spiritual health can also be measured by our view of the law. Again, that won't be a popular thing to hear, but for those Christians who despise the law or want to explain the law away or make it of no effect to the Christian today, I wonder how that connects to their spiritual life. There is a connection. Christ says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Would that not mean then that this is a way that we can measure and appreciate our love to Christ and show it is by the keeping of the commandments? 2 Timothy 3, familiar passage in verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now remember, Christ's commandments are part of that, right? That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The law is important in our Christian walk. Commandments of Christ are a part of that goodness in 2 Timothy 3. Deuteronomy 5 and verses 28 and 29. Then the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spoke to me, and the Lord said to me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people which have spoken to you. They are right in all they have spoken. Oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Blessings are promised in God's word when we keep Christ's commandments. Not curses, not destruction, not darkness and death, as you might assume with the negative view of the law in the modern church. But blessings come with the law. Blessings, that it might be well with them, with their children forever. You see, these perfect and precious and good commandments of Christ, they help us in our Christian walk. They keep us from superstition and doubt. They keep us from being discouraged. In John 14 here, at the departure of Christ, at the change in life, the persecution that's about to come. Remember the struggles of Thomas and Philip in our passage. Some of the things we've talked about, the very common attempt to force Jesus into our plan of how the future should be. You see, if we're about keeping the commandments, we won't be worried about tomorrow. We won't be worried about God's providential plan for tomorrow. We won't be concerned about the things that are happening around us. There's a very real intent here by Christ with his disciples to keep their focus. Just listen to what I've told you, Christ says. I'm going to die. He's already told them that. They doubted that and didn't want that to happen. Just listen to what I have said, is the basic message of John 14, 15. And if you love me, you will be keeping my commandments. John Calvin says on this passage, the love which the disciples loved Christ was true and sincere, and yet there was some superstition mixed with it, as is frequently the case with ourselves. For it was very foolish in them to wish to keep him in the world. To correct this fault, Christ bids them to direct their love to another end, and that is to employ themselves in keeping the commandments which he had given them. This is undoubtedly a useful doctrine. For of those who think they have love for Christ, there are very few who honor him as they ought to do. But on the contrary, after having performed small and trivial services, they often give themselves to no further concern. The true love of Christ, on the other hand, is regulated by the observation of his doctrine as the only rule. But we are likewise reminded how sinful our affections are, since even the love which we bear to Christ is not without fault, if it be not directed to a pure obedience. A lot of good thoughts there. Good applications of the passage before us. Calvin's sense of the passage is very wise. Christ is turning our attention to more profitable work. Let's show our love to Christ by our keeping of his commandments. We'll look more at this next time, but our next point is Christ's commands are evidence of our union with Christ. We see in our passage, let's read verses 16 through 18. You kind of see where the Lord is taking his disciples here with the discussion of the Holy Spirit. Notice for today, Jesus gives the statement, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And then he goes into a discussion of the Holy Spirit as a comforter, helper to come to us for that effect. So if we love Christ and we want to keep the commandments, the Holy Spirit comes into that conversation as a helper to us. Jesus says, "I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever," in verse 16. "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him." He's reminding them who they are. "For he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." So the Holy Spirit, that work is present there before us. And let's consider our final point. We've been giving emphasis on this throughout the morning. But Christ's commands then help us to see our love for Christ. Help us to see our love for Christ. If we have no concern for the commandments, we never think about the commandments, then, my friends, we have grounds to suspect our love to Christ. And that's what the Word of God is doing here. It's either convicting us to go back to, if we really do love Christ and we've just been through ignorance neglecting the law, well, then we've been corrected here today. But maybe we really don't love Christ. And we just think we do. Maybe the neglect of the law is a symptom of something much greater. Maybe there is no love for Christ there. Maybe we've mistaken our love for Christ. And this passage is helpful to cause us to think, to see the work of the Holy Spirit in and through us to measure our love for Christ. Look at what all John has to say. Let's just briefly read through some of the rest of John 14. Pick up with verse 19. We're going to see this repeated. What 15 says is going to be repeated in verse 21. Verse 19, "A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live. You will live also. At that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me." So Jesus is expounding on that principle of verse 15. "He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Verse 22, "Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, 'Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?' Jesus answered and said to him, 'If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words.'" So you see, Jesus is telling us something that is very painful to hear. If we don't love him, sometimes those are the ones who aren't keeping his words. "The word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." John 15, if you'll turn over to chapter 15, let's just look at verse 10 very quickly. "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." What a wonderful truth there, right? It is Christ's obedience that keeps us in the Father's love. What a blessing that is. John has so much to say, really, about how we treat the commandments of Christ. Listen, if you would, to 1 John chapter 2 and 1 John 5. Same author here. verse 3 of 1 John 2. Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. By this we know him. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. 1 John 5, verses 1 through 3. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him, who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Expounding a little bit there, other things we know through loving Christ. For this is the law of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. Isn't that amazing there? Of 1 John 5 and verse 3. That's the general view in modern Christianity regarding the commandments of Christ, that they're burdensome. But they're not, because we're in Christ. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, it's possible today in the hearing of these words from God's holy word that maybe you are apart from Christ. And my friends, today, if you are apart from Christ, the law truly is burdensome to you. It is death to you. It is destruction to you. It is that violent, offensive sound of something that you can't do if you are apart from Christ. I can assure you today from personal experience that these commandments are burdensome to you without Jesus. Without Jesus, the commandments are crushing and violent and terrible because they cry out for your destruction, for sin, an eternal damnation that you will experience apart from God. Without Christ, the commandments are unwelcome, because they seek to awaken you from sin, something that you do not desire apart from Christ. Without Christ, John 14 and verse 15 is a mystery to you. My friends, today, because of the loveliness of Christ, and of your great need for Christ, and of Christ's rule over you, if you are apart from the Lord Jesus today, I call you to seek and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ as the only way of salvation from sin, the only way of eternal life, and the only way that John 14 and verse 15 will ever make sense to you. Seven powerful words we've looked at today. To the Christian, do not run from Christ's commands. Do not be deceived into believing that Christ's commandments are undesirable in any possible way. Everything that Jesus commands is perfect. Everything that Jesus commands is precious. Everything that Jesus commands is good. Everything that Jesus commands helps us to show our love for him. We give our due diligence to the keeping of Christ's commandments, not as a covenant of works. We're careful here, but as a rule of our obedience to the one that we truly love. Would you stand with me as we pray? Father in heaven, grant us a love for Christ's commandments. We pray that you would strip away the false teaching that we have so often heard and renew us again with the sight of the true beauty of your word and of your law. cause us to see how much we truly need to hear the precious words of Jesus, so that we might see the perfection of His work to save us. May we honor His commandments with all that we do. In His name we pray. Amen.